Hey, Barb, what do you call it when two giraffes collide? I'll help you. A giraffic jam. Giraffic jam. We're going to moan when the spirit says moan. You get what you pay for, folks. And let's pray. Father, we come before you. We lift this time and this message up to you. We put it into your hands. Do your will with it, Father. Whatever's from you, let it go into our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking at the Beatitudes as found in Matthew 5, and we have seen that the Beatitudes contrast the realities of this world with the realities of the kingdom of heaven. They challenge the world's view of who is blessed, who the real winners are in this life. Each of the Beatitudes tells us who is truly blessed and why they're blessed. And two of the Beatitudes afford us the same blessing, the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3 and 5:10. 5:3 said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And 10 says, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The reward for being humble and for suffering for good are the same. Full citizenship in the kingdom of heaven with all the rights and privileges that such a status commands. Now, I said a few weeks ago that the kingdom of heaven is noted in one form or another over 140 times in the New Testament. And that's a massive amount of the most precious space in all of creation being dedicated to one topic. There's two reasons for this. First, the kingdom of heaven is the ultimate reality. All other kingdoms and realms bow to it. Hence, it's very important to know and understand it. Second, and for our purposes here today, it's not visible. Hence, it needs explanation to be understood. It is the spiritual equivalent of quantum physics. It's hard to understand or explain what you think you understand about it, because you can't see it, and it's often contrary to what you've seen and what you've experienced. There's an entire chapter of sacred parchment dedicated to one topic. What is the kingdom of heaven like? In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus uses six parables to... So if we want to know how things work in the kingdom of heaven, we should look there. These are the things Jesus wants us to know about the kingdom of heaven before we experience it in its full revelation, before it actually comes. What we need to know here and now to get us through until there and then. But before we dive into Matthew 13, let's try to establish a fundamental truth about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not a place. It is the full and manifest expression and the actualization of the nature of the king, of that kingdom. Hence, it is every place, with all possible exceptions except hell, which I'm not sure about. It is love, justice, peace, purpose, and power, as they are fully expressed and enacted in the will of God. These things are not visible, but they are very real. The kingdom of heaven is like gravity. You can't see it, but you can see its effects, and one ignores it at their own peril. In John 18:36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." But he did not say, "This world is not of my kingdom." In Luke 21, Jesus tells the Pharisees about the nature of the kingdom of heaven. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom was coming, he answers them and says, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed." It's not something you see. "Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." They were trying to use the rules of this world to define the kingdom of heaven. They wanted to see it, know its borders, know what its capital was. They wanted to know what the taxes would be, how the economy would function, and what their status would be in that kingdom. Jesus answered them by telling them, "You cannot see it, no signs to be observed. And it's not in one place. It's everywhere. It's in your midst. When you do see it, it will be too late to deal with it, because at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be dealing with you." When the kingdom of heaven comes, when it reveals itself in full, when it becomes visible, as we ask it to do every week when we say the Lord's Prayer, it's like driving along and seeing a sign that says, "Bridge out ahead." You can take the sign by faith, or you can wait until gravity fully manifests itself at the cliff. By then, it's usually too late. The kingdom of heaven is here. It is in our midst, but it is still also coming. Then we will be in the midst of the kingdom of heaven instead of it being in the midst of us. What is visible is not always the ultimate reality. What is eternal is what ultimately is real. Remember, God's word says the former things will not even be remembered. The former things this speaks of are the current things we can't stop thinking about now. For now, the invisible kingdom is made visible by you until it comes in full revelation. You are the light that shines in a spectrum that makes it visible. When you shine forth love, justice, peace, and purpose, you make the kingdom that is in our midst visible. It is like how ultraviolet light can make unseen things seen. And the word of God is like an infrared camera that shows us the kingdom we cannot see without it, that's right in front of us. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The citizens of the kingdom of heaven need to look for where it is. We look at things unseen. Now, that seems to be a bit of an oxymoron. We seem to be staring off into nowhere. We're looking at things that cannot be seen. This is why we look for the kingdom of God through Scripture, the glasses that reveal what our eyes cannot see. It is also noteworthy that we do not spend our time looking at things that are not eternal. It's a bad investment of our time, as it pays no dividends to spend our precious resource of time on things that have no lasting value. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Ephesians 2:8 tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. We believe the grace we cannot see. We know there's grace, but we can't see it. We know it's there by its effects. What we know that it has done for us and to us. We also know through the word of Jesus living for us, dying for us, and then rising for us again. The word has proven itself true to us over and over again, every day of our lives. These acts of invisible grace give us the conviction to believe and be assured that our belief in what we cannot see will indeed save us. Romans 8:24 through 25 says, "For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes in what he's already seen?" I mean, you could hope for a Super Bowl, but once you've won it, you don't have to hope for it anymore. "But if we have hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it." Faith in what we cannot see gives us the emotional response of hope in the midst of a sad and conflicted world. What we cannot see gets us through what we can see, knowing that what we cannot see will prevail. Ultimately, it will win. Hope allows us to persevere, to battle through what we see in this world. Hope that is bound to our faith in the invisible kingdom of heaven. When his kingdom comes, when it is fully manifested before men, then faith and hope will no longer be necessary. The time of faith and hope will have passed. There will be nothing left to wait for, and there will be nothing that is unseen. We will see him as he is, and that will make us like him. 1 Corinthians 13:12-13 says, "And now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. But now, for now, in this life, faith, hope, love, abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. These are the things of the kingdom of God that we abide with every day. And as most of you know, 1 Corinthians 13 is a chapter that speaks to us about love, what its attributes are, how we can know what's there. Even though we can't see the cause, we can see the effects of love. For now, we can only see the effects of God, the love that He is. Does the things that only love does. It proves who He is, and it proves He is here. But when the kingdom of heaven is fully manifested, when it comes as we ask it to every week, then we will see the cause behind the effect. Then I will know God as well as He knows me. Until then, we can have the confidence of Moses, no matter what we see in this world coming at us. Hebrews 11:27 says, by faith he, Moses, left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. In John 1:18, Jesus said that no man has ever seen God except the Son. What Moses knew of God through his word to him was enough to remove the fear of provoking the mightiest man in the world. Whom Moses could not see, overwhelmed who Moses could see. The invisible kingdom of heaven was greater than the visible kingdom of Egypt. His faith gave Moses hope, and hope allowed Moses to do what? To endure trials as if he had seen God face to face. That's what it's saying. He endured as if he had seen God face to face. Through the word, God becomes visible through the eyes of our hearts. This is why Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus that he prayed, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In your heart, your eyes won't see it, but the eyes of your heart will know it. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God said, light shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Shone in our hearts. The light that shined out of the darkness did not shine on our eyes, it shined on our hearts. The invisible kingdom of heaven becomes visible to us without us seeing it. Through this, we know God. From our hearts, we sense the glory of God and what we know about Jesus Christ through His word and by our experiencing Him in our lives. We say Jesus came into our hearts. We know He is there as surely as we know gravity is there. If we know Jesus, then you know the God that no man has ever seen. If you've seen Him, you've seen God. When you see Jesus as He is, you will see God exactly as He is. Colossians 1:15 through 16 says, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created, both heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. In that all things is you. You were created for Him. Why? Because He wanted you. You are desperately wanted. If you know Jesus, then you know God. If you know God, then you know the King. And if you know the King, then you know the kingdom. You know what is here now, and you do not fear what is coming later. And matter of fact, we ask for it every week. You can pray with all joy and confidence, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Lauren was young, we'd be sitting in the living room, and I'd say to her, "I'm really tired. I think I'll go upstairs and lay down." Her eyes would light up, and she'd look around, and she'd jump up and run upstairs, giggling as she ran. I'd hear her go, boop, 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 poof, right into the bed. I'd hear her dive under the bed, and I would walk upstairs as loudly as I could. When I walked into the bedroom, I could see a Lauren-sized lump hiding underneath the covers. I would say, "Look at this giant lump under my covers," as I hit it and patted it with my hands. "I wonder what this is. I wonder what that could be." And I would name things that I thought it could be, most of which I can't say here. But "Maybe I should smash this down or jump on it and flatten it," I'd say. And Lauren would start to laugh. And I would say, "This lump's making noise." And she would finally say, "It's me, Dad. It's me." You see, I knew it was Lauren, even though I couldn't see her. We both enjoyed what we accepted by faith based on reason. What we knew for sure gave a foundation for what we could not see. She couldn't see me, I couldn't see her, but we knew. The kingdom of heaven is for now covered by a blanket, but we can be absolutely sure that it's there. We can have hope that it will help us endure until the blanket is pulled away and we see our Father face to face. And as the hymn goes, "And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace, and the kingdom of heaven will overwhelm and replace everything else that exists." Pray for His kingdom to come in full. But until then, show the world the kingdom that is already here inside of you. Make your light shine. Amen.